We thank God for back to school, and we pray, God, to protect the children for the new academic year. May God Almighty, the Creator of earth and heaven, keep the children and bless them and guide them. You know, every year we have problems in the school. People, young people start shooting and things happen. And every year when you send your kid to school, you're wondering, is this year this thing going to happen again? But we know that there is somebody. He is on the throne. And he got the control of the situation. When I was a child, three stories captivated my mind. I mean, biblical story. And one of them was the Noah Ark. And the second one is Daniel in the lion's den. And the third one is Jonah. Thank you. Jonah in the tummy of the big fish. So today, we are going to share that testimony. In my walk with Jesus, I came to the point and I wondered if that story was a real story that happened or is just a tale. But I found out that our Lord Jesus Christ himself, he quoted that story. So what that means, Jesus, who is God, he knows. And we know the power of citation. When you go to university in this country, the first thing they will tell you, if you want to quote somebody, you need to quote it properly. If you don't, you know all the consequences that will happen to you. And furthermore, in my study, I come out with that scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16, when Paul said, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. So the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. And on this account of Jonah, we find what Jesus said himself in the gospel, in the book of Matthew 12, verses 13 to 42. Hallelujah. So we are going to read from the book of Jonah. If you have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Jonah. Okay, let's read from verse 1. Yeah, chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Let's read from 1 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We all know that. You cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. The proof is today, from the prophecy to the communion table, we feel that presence. You cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. It is inherent to our soul, is within us. You cannot flee from that. And the Bible says, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the loads. But Jonah has gone down into the lowest part of the ship and lay down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the man knew that he flee from the presence of the Lord because he has told them. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we all know the story of Jonah. And we know that we cannot flee from the presence of the Lord, because the God that we serve, He is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Those are three attributes of God. So we cannot flee from His presence. We know that. The question is, why Jonah is reluctant to do what God asked him to do? In my country, Togo, they say, if somebody call you, you know that you're not gonna show up, you don't answer. If, for example, somebody say, "Alfred," so if I don't want to do what the person is going to ask me, I just keep quiet, like I didn't hear it. But at the moment you say, "Yes, Lord," that means you say, "Here I am." But if you say, "Yes, Lord," and then you turn doing the opposite thing the person is about to ask you, there is a problem. But why Jonah was doing that? We all know that Nineveh is in the enemy territory, and the Ninevites, they are bad. If they catch you, they're going to kill you. And Jonah knows about that. That's why he don't want to go there. And the Bible says Nineveh is a great city. Great city. Everything is going on well for them. So most of the time, if your things are going well, you say, "I don't need God. Who is God? I can do anything by myself. I got the power. I got the money. I got the relationship. I can do it." So you don't care. And he knows, Jonah knows that if he went down there, maybe he won't come back. And he's scared. And another part of him, he said he is Hebrew. He's one of the elect people of God. And nowadays, some of us, we want God to punish some people. Say, "Oh, those people, they don't follow the rule. I want God to punish them." But this is not right. You know, God is the creator of earth and heaven. He created the whole humanity. And it takes something for God to create us. And we are precious at His sight. And He don't want none of us. Even though those people who say they are the enemy of God, God don't want them to die. He wants them to come to repentance. That's very important. But Jonah, he said, oh, those people, they are not a part of God elect. Just judge them and punish them. That's the second reason he don't want to go there. In verse 17, what do we read? The Lord has prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Do those 3 days and 3 nights remind us something in the life of Jesus? The Ninevites, they are professional mariners. And when they come to the point, the boat is about to break up and they are throwing out their cargo. They are losing money. They are losing money. So they ask Jonah to pray. Those people, they don't believe in God. They believe in their own idol. But they ask Jonah. But we need to recognize that Jonah, he's not just somebody like me or you. He's a prophet of God. And do you see the difference between the prophet of God and somebody just a simple Christian? There's a big difference. Because the prophet of God is somebody God used to pass a message. He's not just a simple pastor. It's somebody. Last week I had the opportunity to watch on the internet Pastor William Tete. He's back to Togo and then he has this televised event and he said God called him to come to Togo. God appointed him to be the prophet to Togo, to the nation of Togo. Even though he is Togolese, he was in Ghana when God called him. So if you are a prophet and God calls you, even though you know that during your mission you can get killed, you have to go to deliver your message. But what happened in Jonah's case here, instead of going to Nineveh, which is 550 miles from where he lived, he turned and went the opposite way, 2,500 miles away, just to waste time, because God said, in 40 days, Nineveh won't be there anymore to disappear, because the judgment of God we come upon Nineveh. And Jonah, he has, I don't know how to say it, but these are his conceptions about how God will deal with that issue. We want God to punish them, seriously. And that's why when God talked to him the second time, after the big fish vomit him on the dry land, God gave him the mission. Say, okay, this is the mission. Go and tell the people to repent in 40 days. And the first day, he said, okay, in 40 days, if you don't repent, you will be destroyed. And all of a sudden, something happened. Because the king heard the news and he called the nobles. And the king made a decree that everybody in that kingdom will fast. Like today, everybody in this congregation will fast. Even though the beast and the animal and the herd, everybody will fast. No exception. The dog, the cat, everybody. That's amazing. And we see how God works. And Jonah, the prophet of God, he's about to do something that we never experienced in the whole Bible before. He preached. And then 120,000 people come to the Lord at that day. That reminds me the Billy Graham Crusades. That's the whole city. Nothing happened like that in the Bible before. That's the first time that the Bible is talking about the whole city that repent. And then God saved them. And what Prophet Jonah did, he went down there and sit down under the tree and he said, okay, I will see what's going to happen to those people today. How God going to punish those people? And at his surprise, it didn't happen. What that mean? That if you pray and if you ask God Almighty to intervene in your situation, He's faithful. He creates us. And the Bible says we are wonderfully and fearfully made. We are a masterpiece. So God doesn't want none of us to die. He wants all of us to come to repentance. But Jonah didn't look at the problem that way. He wants God to punish those people. And he said, okay, now God, you are gracious to them and then you save them. Come and kill me. And when he was underneath the tree, and God appointed the worm to eat up the leaf of the tree. And then Jonah got upset again. He said, I was here on the shade of that tree, and enjoying the shade, and all of a sudden, that tree withered. And he said, okay, God, just come and take me again. I want to go home. I want to die. I know a lot of us, we are like Jonah these days. And I'm so sorry you hear some pastors say, oh, we need God to bring judgment over America. You are here. And you call God to bring judgment over America? Because of what? Because those people, they are gay, they are lesbian, or they are fornicator, or they are this. I want God's judgment to come upon them. But you hear, you don't know what's going to happen. Even though we are in the hurricane season, those are meteorological hurricanes. But we have spiritual hurricanes too. And people start interpreting all those hurricanes. You know, I don't even think that this has any biblical purpose. So they say, okay, you see, this thing happened. It's the punishment of God. Brothers and sisters, the God that we serve, He's the sovereign. He's on the throne. And He can have compassion on whom He wants to have compassion. Even though you see your worst enemy, say, don't get upset. God created him, and God created him for a purpose. Who created Pharaoh? God created Pharaoh himself, but to give us a lesson. And I'm going to read what God said specifically about Jonah. Okay, in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, it says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment of this generation and condemn it, because they repent at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment of the generation and condemn it. For he came from the end of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here, who is Jesus." Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ came. And if you trust him, if you believe in him, you shall not perish anymore. He's here to give us life, and life more abundant. And he's greater than Jonah. Jonah preached, and 120,000 people repent that day. But what about Jesus? The only begotten Son of God, who came in his obedience, he delivered his message to us. There is greater than Jonah in our life. And he is here. And we all can witness it about him. And only today's service, we can feel the presence of God. Jesus is still on the throne. He never changed. He is the same yesterday and forever. He is going to be the same. And even though hurricane came and take our life, we know that, as Paul said, absence in this body is presence with the Lord. Our eternity is guaranteed. There is no limbo for us. I didn't see that in the Bible. So I know if I leave this body, I will be somewhere before my Savior. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you give us. And now we come to the realization that the story of Jonah is not just a mere story that is in the Bible and some people are making fun of it. But we know that this is real. And Jesus is real. And our Lord is real. Whatever the situation we're facing, when we call upon you, you will answer us. That's why we appreciate your prayer. We just pray for Togo. And we know right now there is a lot of uncertainty in my country. But we know that the God that we serve, he will bring everything under his own control. And all the glory will be to him. Thank you, church. And may God bless you. And may he keep you. And may he shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all intelligence, be your portion now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.